The Ran had been discussing the involvement of Hashem in healing, and the Ran had said that when the people sinned and Hashem sent those serpents to bite them, so Moshe didn't do anything. Moshe waited because they had no right to come and pose their complaints. And that's why, that's the one time we don't find Moshe saying anything until the people came and said, we were wrong. And their sin was Lashon Hara. That's why they were bitten by snakes, because they had no right to turn against Moshe and Hashem and say, oh, everything you've done is bad and this food is bad and everything. What's wrong? You're getting the best thing in the world. But no, the problem was internal. Their attitude was problematic, and that's what caused them to talk Lashon Hara. And the last thing we saw last week was what the Talmud tells us in Tanis, that in the future all the animals will turn to the snake and say, every animal has a reason that it attacks. The lion attacks and consumes. The wolf, you, what do you benefit? You kill people right and left, you bite them and you walk away. What'd you do it for? And the snake is going to answer, Umaytro lebala lashon. That's what the Pasuk says, and the Gemara says, the snake is going to answer, and what did the humans benefit when they spoke badly about one another? People say Lashon Hara, they walk away, they planted their venom, and the other guy is going to suffer for it, but they didn't benefit anything from it. So that's the idea of Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara stems from an evil desire to just inflict bad upon others. So that's why Hashem sent these snakes against them, so that they'd have snakes that were biting them and just putting venom in them without any benefit. When they did tshuva, when they came to Moshe and apologized, then Hashem said, okay, Moshe Rabbeinu, make yourself that serpent, put it on a pole, and let everyone look at that and get cured. Yeah?
I have to slightly disagree about what you're saying about the snake biting and walking away, because the snakes only do that as self-defense, and like any animal, snakes do also consume. One snake can consume an entire, like, little deer, like a little snake literally eats up, like a python can eat up an entire deer. They definitely do consume animals, and also you'll find elephants and hippopotamuses. Hippopotami are like the most dangerous animals that will just attack you because they're defending their territory, and they're vegetarian. And they're not attacking you to eat you at all.
I hear. Okay. VFM.
What are we?
Not every snake is doing it in self-defense. I mean, I had a friend of mine who was going on a hike with his wife, and he turned around, he heard a hissing, and he saw this huge snake, you know, like the size of that table, that was following them. And it wasn't in we had over here also in Ramot, there was this huge snake that somehow got out and was like trying to get into people's houses. So you could say he was looking for food, but snakes sometimes do have an interest in biting people, and they're not eating the people. I don't know how to explain it, but if you look into it, you'll see that it's not always the way you're describing. Chazal came to give us an idea. You're saying there are other animals that do this too. Okay. You're saying that snakes sometimes also benefit and consume what they eat. I agree. You're saying that snakes sometimes do it out of self-defense. I agree. Say that. ויפה אמר הרמב"ן ז"ל כי זה היה ראוי להוסיף בכל ים כי נשוכי הנחשים הן ראויים דרכי הרפואה שיביטו על הנחש כי יזיק להם מאוד. The Ramban says this was counterintuitive. A person gets bitten by a snake, it doesn't help him to look at a snake. On the contrary, it makes things worse. אבל הראה להם כי כל עניינם בידי שמיים ואינם נמסרים לדרכי הטבע ולא למקרה כלל. Hashem said, you get bitten by a snake, now go look at the snake that I post on the staff. And even though it's counterintuitive, that's what's going to make you better. And that's to get them to realize that this isn't a natural phenomenon. Hashem says, I want you to realize I'm controlling things. אף בקיום התורה לא נראה מהסיבות הממיתות כלל, גם כי יהיו חזקות מאוד. But going back to the idea that he's been developing, he says, in fulfilling the Torah, one of the things that Chazal taught us is that one can outlive all kinds of circumstances that would ordinarily kill him. Like the Talmud tells us, the greater a person is, the more the Torah protects him. The Talmud tells us Rabbi Hanina ben Doso was told that next to the academy there was an arod, a serpent that used to bite students and kill people. And he said, show me, where is its hole? So they showed him the hole. He put his foot over the hole. Out came the arod, bit his foot, and the arod dropped dead. According to one medrash, the arod would only... was this type of snake that after it bit a person, the first one to go to a body of water, the other one would drop dead. So Rabbi Hanina ben Doso put his foot over the hole of the arod came out and bit him, and then the crevice opened up under Rabbi Hanina ben Doso's foot, and he stuck his foot into a body of water down there, and the arod dropped dead. Okay, however, whatever, I don't know which one's the bigger miracle, which story makes some more sense. But whatever, at any rate, but you see, the other students dropped dead, right? Arod bit other students and they died. Yes, and Rabbi Hanina ben Doso's level, so then when a snake bites him, the snake dies. But that's Rabbi Hanina ben Doso. That's Rabbi Hanina ben Doso who doesn't have any food all week. He lives on a Coke bottle's worth of carob. And when the neighbor is going to discover that they have no food and his wife is going to be embarrassed, so then when the neighbor pulls open the oven door to say, aha, you see, I know you don't have anything to eat. So Hashem makes it that the oven is overflowing with food and bread, and the neighbor says, hey, Mrs. Bendosa, come quick, your pitas are going to burn. So yeah, that's Rabbi Hanina Bendosa on his level. That's Rabbi Hanina Bendosa that when his wife by mistake puts vinegar instead of oil in the lamp, he tells her, well, why do you think oil lights? Because God said so, so he can make vinegar light too, and all Shabbos long, his Shabbos candles remain lit. Because Rabbi Hanina ben Doso said, what do you mean? Oh, but say that that's Rabbi Hanina ben Doso, that's not me or you, and it's not even Rabbi Hanina ben Doso's students. But his point is that as one grows in Torah, the greater one is in Torah, the less one has to be concerned of things that would ordinarily harm him. So here we can recognize how the tzaddik weighs down like the whole world. Look at what happened here. Rabbi Hanina ben Doso, he didn't have a commandment from above, go put your foot over that hole. And yet, he was confident. He went and did it. So this is equal to what Moshe Rabbeinu did after Hashem told him to do it with all of Israel. Hashem tells Moshe, put a snake on top of a post, and everyone that gets bitten could look at that snake, and they won't die. Hashem said so. And then Moshe could do it, and it works. Rabbi Hanina ben Doso, Hashem didn't tell him to do it. And yet it worked. So you see, wow. Just like looking at the copper snake would be an antidote to the venom of these venomous snakes, even though it should have had a reverse effect, it shouldn't have helped them. By the same token, Rabbi Hanina ben Doso, he also had a human heart, he also had human blood, and he should have been harmed by the venom of that snake. And not only was Rabbi Hanina saved from it, but the venom had a counter effect, and the snake died. That's why our sages taught, what does it mean when at the conclusion of Koheles, at the conclusion of Ecclesiastes, it says, what does it say? Sof davar kol nishma. Ultimately, we've heard it all. Et Elokim yirav et mitzvotav shemor ki zeh kol adam. Be a God-fearing person. Keep the mitzvos, because that's all of humanity. That's the conclusion of Ecclesiastes. We've checked everything out. Bottom line, et Elokim yirav et mitzvotav shemor. So the Talmud says, we know this. This is the Gemara in Brachos. What does it mean? Ki zeh kol adam. This is all of humanity. Shekul zeh keneged kol olam. This weighs down like the whole world. The Talmud says the whole world was created to partner up with this commandment. Be a God-fearing person. V'dimyon yachik zeh, aval ha-sechel yamteu. To our imagination, that doesn't sound right. To our logic, you say, hey, that could work. Ki ha-herchek she-herchak ha-dimyon she-yeh kol ha-olam nivra b'shir tzadik echad oto ha-herchek. If you, at first glance, you say the whole world was created because of one tzaddik, it doesn't sound right. Okay. Here there's a question. What is your print saying? There's a question of which print to read here. Could I see your print just a second? אותה הרחקה בעצמו ייפול באלף וברבבה כפי השכל. As much as it seems far-fetched, logic can ultimately tell you it's right. You have the same idea. If I tell you that a ton and a brick fall at the same speed, you'd say that doesn't make sense. But it's true. Right, some things, at first glance you say that doesn't make sense, but after you figure it out and you understand the logic, yeah, it does. Take a ton of rocks and a brick, they fall at the same speed. ואחר זה יש שכלות ועיוורון כזה השכל, אחר שיודע בעצמו שהוא יכול לעלות נפשו במעלה העליונה, או שהוא שקול כנגד כל העולם ועדיין נמשך אחר חפצו כתבנית שור או חלסף. So is there anything more foolish than a person who knows his capacity to grow? And nonetheless, he goes after a golden calf and says, let me follow that. So what the Magen Midovna, what the Ran over here has been developing is the idea that Hashem is involved in nature, and the idea that when it comes to healing, Hashem says, I'm involved, and if you keep the mitzvos, then I will make it within nature that a person won't get sick. Hashem says, I control when a person gets sick and when not. And that's what Hashem says. Ki ani Hashem rofecha, I could cause anything to cure you. You saw there was bitter waters, and I said, throw in something bitter and it'll become cured. That didn't make sense, but I did it. Why? I wanted you to see that I control it. There were people being bitten by snakes, and Hashem said, I will make them cured by doing something that's counterintuitive. Go look at a copper snake, and that'll make you cured from being bitten by a snake. Hashem says, I control it. And if I control it, then I'm not bound by the laws of nature. I won't go and make overt miracles every day of your life. But I will still control nature within nature in a hidden way. So Hashem says, I created the world, and I created within nature something that seems unnatural. You keep the Torah, I'll take care of you, medically. You'll say, what's the connection? I wore tefillin this morning, so I shouldn't get sick tonight. No, there's no logical connection. That's why the Torah had to say, Ki ani Hashem rofecha. And by the same token, so he says, now I want you to see this point. Look at how Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa has a snake bite him and the snake drops dead. Because he was on a tremendous level of Avodas Hashem. But once we understand this idea, so then a person is really blinded when he chooses to go and worship that golden calf, or in our day and age, worship the stock market or whatever it is that he anticipates he will benefit from, when he's being told by the one who controls all benefit, I've given you a formula, work with it, it'll work. So that's the idea he's been developing.